Shalom, shalom, everybody, shalom. Thank you. We are once again live. We're continuing with the Hebrew Bible Club. We're going to start it now, even though we're still getting the graduation ready to go. I was looking at a gift that James Clark had sent me last night, a little gadget to help me not lose my glasses anymore. So hopefully that helps. but I do want to thank you, James, for sending in that letter of encouragement and for your blessing to the church as well. God bless you out there in Hickory, North Carolina. That is something. Hickory, North Carolina. I heard of Greensboro, never heard of Hickory. Praise God. And once again, I did want to thank Barbara McMahon for her card, and thank you for everything. Now, let me see here. Pastor Ben, did Barbara send me the gadget in the card? So it was Barbara who sent me the gadget. Barbara sent me the gadget for my glasses. So thank you, Barbara. Okay, James wrote me a letter and gave us a beautiful offering. I thank you, James. God bless you. We are just blessed these days. I don't know. We went how long we go without without any assistance, Pastor Ben. God, we were like, wow, where do these people come from, God? And it's like, I guess he's like, I'm just helping you out before the rapture. Okay. Everybody, I want to start today's class today by doing the Shema prayer. And I haven't done the Shema prayer in quite a while. We've been opening with the Lord's Prayer. But I think it is necessary that we do it now because I want you guys to understand that the Shema prayer is a prayer, but it is also a commandment. The word Shamai means hear in Israel. Smai, that means listen or hear, right? The word Shema has a double meaning because it doesn't just mean to hear, it means hear and obey. So if you want to say to obey in Hebrew, you say the word same word, Shema. So it means to hear and it also means to obey. And what does God want us to obey in the Shema prayer? Well, basically he's giving you instructions on how he expects to be loved. And that's what the Shema prayer is. It is a commandment of, this is how I want you to love me, okay? And like any relationship, people want to be loved greatly. No one wants to be in a lukewarm relationship. And God in this prayer is letting you know how he wants to be loved, how he wants to be adored. And this is his commandment to us. And this is beautiful because if you do it this way, if you love God this way, you would assure yourself of never falling. Amen. Okay? So let's begin. I'm going to read it in English first, okay? And this is what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Then you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let these words which I command you today be upon your lips, upon your hearts. Repeat them to your children. This is a commandment. Let the words in this Torah be upon your heart and repeat these words to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them as a sign upon your arm and let them be as a frontlet between your eyes. Write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Praise God. Sma Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Dechavata et Adonai. Dechavata Et Adonai Elohim bekol levavka ukol nefishka ukol mechodecha. Vehayu hadevarim haeli asher noki misvacha hayom al levavka. Veshanatam lavenecha. Vederbarta bam beshiftecha tevetecha ubevetecha uvletecha viderek ushachbecha ukumaka. Ushatam laot al yadecha. Vehayu letutafot bain ayanecha, uftaftam al mizuzot bitecha uvisharecha. And everyone said, amen. Amen. And the amen is we agree, okay? Amen. We will do that. So, we were in the book of Revelation, and I want to make that sure that you get that in your head. It is the book of Revelation. There's not revelations. There's only one. Amen. Okay, this is his revelation, and which Christ gave to the church through an angel to John. Okay, last time we began reading the seven churches. Okay, the seven churches are prophetic throughout Scripture. I want you to know this, okay? We had a church teaching that only the Church of Philadelphia gets raptured. Now, how do we refute that? Because if they say, well, it's the only church of love that had no criticism, so the Church of Philadelphia is the only one who really gets raptured. Well, while it's a nice sentiment, it doesn't exist in Scripture, okay? Because there always been a representation of seven when it came to typologies concerning the church. Rather in Genesis, or rather in when it came to Leah being the first to marry and having seven children, or it came to the apostles in John 21 coming to being seven people in the boat, and then seeing Jesus on the shore already cooking and bringing forth 153 fish. And we know that those 153 fish are the B'nai Hai Elohim, the sons of God. So we know that this was a rapture scene of the seven arriving with the sons of God, okay? And these are the seven churches, and they consider it to be the whole of the sons of God, okay? So the church, and then even back further back, you have a seven menorah, and you all of these things, but you never get to where he says, oh, when the rapture happens, there's only going to be one church. Now, we will be one church as a body,
yes.
Meaning, okay, as a body, we're one church, but the body of churches have gone through what the scriptures consider to be seven time periods. And so all of these churches that he's naming are time periods, okay? And they're time periods. So the church of Ephesus is the first church that existed when Christ left the earth. Then the church of Smyrna would be the second church that existed. Now, the church of Pergamos, which means a defiled mixed marriage, means that that's when Catholicism or Constantine corrupted the church. And then, of course, Thyatira was that fourth church. And its thing, Thyatira, meant ruled by a woman. And because they had gotten into different types of worship and allowing Jezebel and all these things to enter into the church. And then we got to the church of Sardis, because Sardis represents, and it means precious stone, and it was the time of Reformation. It was time when the church was saying, okay, we cannot stay any longer in this Catholic Constantine Babylonian mixed with Jesus Christ type church. We are not Mary worshipers. So that the Church of Sardis began to pull themselves away from the Catholic Church. And so here we go with the Church of Sardis, and we are in chapter 3, okay? Okay, yeah, Revelation chapter 3, okay? And we're in verse 1. And it says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it. Yes. Okay? Now, if that is not a stern warning from God, because he says, but you are dead. He says, wake up. He says, wake up, right? And strengthen what remains left. The little bit of strength to live for Jesus and the enthusiasm that you have inside of you, whatever is still left in there, he's saying, wake up and make it active again, because he says, you're about to die. And he says, I know you who say you're alive, but you're dead.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you think they were lying to themselves, saying that they were alive? Or did they feel like they were doing enough that God would be satisfied with it? And God's saying, look, I know that you say you're alive and that you believe you're alive, but I'm telling you that you're dead.
Amen.
He says, wake up. He says, while what's left in you, before it completely dies and goes away, okay? So he's trying to get this church to wake up. And then he says in the last part, remember therefore what you have received and heard, obey it.
Yes.
So obviously they were not obeying. They were probably getting off into that Nicolaitan doctrine.
Oh.
It says, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief. And you will know, and it says, and you will not know what time I will come to you. Who's the thief? The thief is the high priest. Who's the high priest right now? Jesus Christ. Why would the high priest come as a thief? To make sure that you are not sleeping in the temple and allowing your fire to go out, because it must remain a perpetual fire inside of the temple.
Yes.
You are the temple of the living God. Remember this. I want you to think about this. Jesus says to them, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they said, it took us 46 years to build this temple. And you're going to rear it up in 3 days? What are the 46? What does it take for God to make a temple? 46 chromosomes, DNA. So they don't understand. God had them build a physical temple in 46 years to represent that he builds fleshly temples, but they both take 46. 46 DNA, 46 years. But he was not speaking of a physical temple. He was speaking of the temple that God built, which has 46 chromosomes of DNA, okay? So he was saying, I will raise up this temple in 3 days, okay? So understand that you are the temple of God, and as a high priest inside of your temple, you have a responsibility from the Torah to keep the flame continuously burning inside of the temple. Yeah. If the flame goes out, they would set that priest on fire, okay? And so we have to be alert and ready and always keeping oil in the lamp,
yes,
so that the flame continues burning, just in case the high priest comes.
Amen.
Very good lesson taught here from Sardis. And it says, you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. What clothes? The Holy Spirit. Remember the metaphors, okay? You have a garment on, okay? I think in Luke it says, I have clothed them in the Holy Spirit, okay? So understand that what you have on is a garment. Can you take your garment off?
Yes,
you can take your garment off. Why? Because you are a B'nai HaElohim. And what could the angels do in the beginning in Revelation chapter 6? They could take off their orchiterium. They could take off their garment, and then they could move into sin. You have the ability to take off your garment. And I know people tell you, oh, no, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. A seal is a stamp. He's not talking about they sewed you up in the Holy Spirit and the Spirit can't get out. OK, you have a seal that you belong to God. The Holy Spirit is not locked inside of you, sealed up and ready to be delivered. If God wants to take his Spirit out of you, because there's too much sin in your temple, he could do it.
Yeah.
Okay? So understand, we have a responsibility as a royal priesthood living inside of a temple, okay? And the biggest responsibility is from Matthew chapter 25, which says, make sure you keep the flame burning by keeping oil in the lamp and being ready, because the high priest can come at any time.
Yes.
Okay? Now, this is lovely. I love the book of Revelation. And it says here, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not spoiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Okay, I want you to know this. If he says, I will not blot out his name from the book of life, are there people who would get their name blotted out of the book of life? Can you accept Christ, all of heaven rejoice, go back into the world, or start sinning again, or become lukewarm, and God continuously warn you through the Spirit that's living inside of you to rekindle your fire, to live for me? You understand? And then you ignore that and continue in unrepentant sin, and then God says, okay, take my Spirit from there and blot that name out of the book of life. As Christians, everyone wants to go, oh my God, that's impossible. Once you're saved, you're just always saved. Revelation is telling you that there are things that happen, okay, in a walk with Christ that must be adhered to. And one of the things that you have to do is you're responsible for your temple. You're responsible for your garment. He says some of the people had not stained their clothing. Okay? You got a question, Pastor Man? Are you good?
No,
okay.
Sir.
Okay.
You're going to block somebody.
All right. Block him. Get rid of them. Tell them to go. They're satanic channels. Go to that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, to the Church of Philadelphia, verse 7, chapter 3. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Okay, there is a group of people in the world who claim to be Jews but are not Jews. Okay, they are the Rockefellers. They are many of the people that belong to the Luciferian occult system. Okay, and they are claiming to be Jews. I mean, the Rockefellers were a big part in allowing the Jews to come back to Israel, because you understand. Can we talk?
Yes.
Lucifer's greatest achievement that he wants is to sit in the temple in Jerusalem and proclaim to the world that he's God. That's in their book, okay? So if these men are saying that they're Jews and they want Israel rebuilt and they want to build a temple there, they don't want to build a temple because they love the Jewish people. Because like Ronald Bernard says, if they love the Jewish people so much, I don't understand why they were trying to kill them all.
Right.
Because the same money that helped build Israel was the same money that attempted to kill all of them. Okay? When they saw they couldn't, they said, okay, let's just bring them back to Israel and build the temple and let our leader come and sit in their temple. And then that's his ultimate goal. And they believe as believers in Lucifer that once Lucifer sits in that seat, all of his followers will gain eternal life. That's the lie that's in their book. So know that there are people in the world that claim to be Jews but are not Jews. Then you got that other wacky group called the Black Hebrew Israelites, and they just claiming to be Jews. I don't know. Oh, their basis is off Deuteronomy chapter, I think, 28, verse 68 or something, 26, which says that, God's going to take you in ships back to Egypt. Mm-hmm. And you go, but God did take the Jews back to Egypt in ships because they were disobedient in Babylon, or they didn't want to go to Babylon, so they tried to go to Egypt, and they offered themselves to be slaves, and nobody bought them. But these black people are saying, oh, no, that's talking about, it's not Egypt. The real Egypt, it's America, Egypt. And we were in ships and we came to America. And it's like, out of that lie, Satan has built a cult of people who hate white people and hate Christians. And it's a crazy thing, but easily deceived when you're looking for another truth that is not truth.
I have a question for you,
Pastor. Yes.
Donnie Donnelly.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Ben, please ask Pastor Sandy if he saw the anniversary of Israel rebirth in the birth order of Jacob's children.
The rebirth? You mean as they move back into the land?
If you saw the anniversary of Israel's rebirth in the order of Jacob's children. Did you see Israel's rebirth
as
lined up like the order of Jacob's children?
I didn't see that. Yeah, no, I didn't see that. But I do consider the rebirth of the nation of Israel, the reestablishment of the children of Israel. And I'll tell you why I see it as the reestablishment. Because Abraham, was called by God to establish his people. But while they were living in Canaan, they were not able to establish their people. So they had to send Jacob away, finally, to go and have a wife that wasn't of the black tribes, because all of the Jewish people were marrying, Hittite wives and things like that. So Jacob did go away and leave from the area of Canaan and went and he married two Jewish women. And from those two Jewish women, Leah and Rachel, he reestablished the tribes, or he established the tribe. So I don't know if it's the rebirth or if that was a ceremony that you watched or anything, but I'm not sure. I probably have to send that to me in an email so I can look at it. Okay, here we go. Let's continue. Thanks for that question, though. It's kind of something that's very curious.
Amen.
It says, I know your deeds before. You're an open door. Okay, I'm going to read verse 9. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them to come and to fall down at your feet and to acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my commands to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. What is the hour of trial? The tribulation.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world. Wow. So if I live for God, he's going to have me escape the hour of trial, okay, that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. That means you have eternal life.
Yes.
Don't let somebody lie to you and take it from you. Oh, you are a black, you are a Hebrew Israelite, and the white people are the fake quasars from, and they give you this lie, and then all of a sudden you're in a new religion that hates the Jews that are in Israel, and you're not even calling Jesus Jesus or Yeshua. Now he's Yahuwah, and now you're completely messed up because you have no dealings with, because the Holy Spirit don't come in everything, and your confession has to be to Yeshua, Jesus, the same one who died, and it can't be the Jesus with the afro. It has to be the Jesus who was Jewish. Okay, so you mess yourself up when you start diving into other religions trying to find truth. But Satan has plenty of lies for you if you don't keep your head in the word of God and really want truth. If you want a lie, Satan has plenty of for you. And for, I'm sorry, but for African Americans, we're always looking for something to validate us as black people. So if you make up, if you want to fool black people, just say, okay, I want black people to be Buddhist. Just make Buddha black. If you make Buddha black, black people will rush to it and say, we are the true Buddhas. And it's, I don't know. And I'm not saying that as a mock to them, because I joined Islam because it was black. I didn't join Islam because I thought it was a good religion. It looked really beautiful. Look at all the black people there. But Dada Saeed, who was a Muslim for 11 years and gave his life to Jesus Christ, told me, Sandman, they used to call me where I grew up, never let your color decide your religion. Because if you let your race decide your religion, you're going to choose based on your color, and you may choose the wrong God. Okay? So don't let your nationality choose your religion. Let the word of God choose who you will serve. Okay?
Amen.
Now, in verse 11, it says, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God, mm-hmm. and the name of the city of my God, and the name of the city of my God. It says the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will also write on him a new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hallelujah. Before I begin to read this last church that will exist before Jesus Christ returns, I want to talk to you about it. It is called the Church of Laodicea.
Yes.
The Laodicea means ruled by the people. It is a church that does not welcome Jesus. It does not follow Jesus. It is a church that is ran by human leadership. And the scripture says it will engulf the last church. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We have pastors right now that are very famous. Joel Osteen, and I could run a many of them. Jesse Duplantis, all of them. And we're like, all of these people are a part of one sect, and it does not belong to God. It is marketing Jesus Christ, but it is not a church that Christ has established, okay? It is to take advantage of people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand who's behind running these type of churches, because there's a reason you don't hear about the rapture from these type of people, is because they don't want to talk about it. They're not allowed to talk about it because you're warning people to escape what's coming, okay?
Right.
So understand that the Church of Laodicea, the Bible says, is in operation right now. Okay? So you've got to find a church that's not ran by the people.
Amen.
Okay? That is ran by God. Okay? And that's the only solid rock that me and Pastor Ben has to stand on, yeah, is that we refuse to be a part of any organized religion, mm-hmm, or organized church like Southern Baptist Convention or Apostolic Union or all of this stuff. We don't want to be a part of it because we're going to say, we're going to come on here, we're going to stay on our face, we're going to pray, and we're going to make sure that the Holy Spirit, God, is running this church and this service.
Do we have a 501c3, Pastor?
What's that?
Do we have a nonprofit 501c3?
We do not have a 501c3. A matter of fact, we don't even have church on our building. It's called Soldiers for Christ.
Amen.
And the city said we can't put church on our building unless we have a 501c3 and we're a church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are not a church. We are a group of believers who meet. Okay, so if they want to use titles, then okay, we'll leave it off of our building. But we're not going to get under something that, because Pastor Hagee almost lost everything.
He sure did.
He said something negative about the Catholic Church, and they wanted to pull him, pull his 501c3. They wanted him to apologize
and
to
the money.
And pay back. He almost lost everything. So he apologized and he kept his ministry.
Hmm.
But believe me, once they get a hold of you, that's the danger of getting 501c3,
mm-hmm,
is that at any time they can come in and say, hey, you owe us so much money because you haven't been operating the way we want to.
Yep.
And so anyway, we stayed away from. Anyway, this is the Laodicean church. I love Pastor Hagee, by the way. Okay. And so here we have the Church of Laodicea. It is a church that Jesus is not a part of. Okay. Now watch what it says. To the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Because this is the last church that's going to exist.
Yeah.
So he's letting them know this church is about to be spit out. Oh my goodness.
Hmm.
It says, you say, I am rich. Creflo Dollar. Right? You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. Right? But you do, it says, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You don't have a Holy Spirit garment on. It said, I counseled you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Who? The Church of Laodicea.
Yeah.
God is telling this church to repent. When you have a church and you're putting money on the altar and the pastors are dancing,
yep,
over the money and saying, oh, bring your money. Money cometh, money cometh. And you got people who, instead of getting up and being disgusted and walking out, are taking money and throwing it on the, yep, altar for two preachers to dance on so you can receive a financial blessing. And we got, and that's just the tip of it. We've got Kundalini's.
Kundalini
healers that are using real demonic spirits,
yes,
to make you fall into convulsions. And the scripture says the only thing that makes people fall into convulsions are demons.
Yeah.
It was Christ who came and prayed and the demon left. So falling into a convulsion is not a sign from God.
Amen.
It's a sign of a demon. But since you come forward and they laid hands on you and you fell into a convulsion, you say, oh, my God, it was the Spirit of God. OK,
yes.
If you fell and you were at peace, OK, I'll say, OK, That seems like that would maybe be the Spirit of God. If you fell or you felt the Spirit of God and you felt peace, I would go, okay, maybe that was the Spirit of God. But if you're on the floor shaking around and stuff like that, that's not of God.
That's not of God.
So anyway, we have to be very careful because we're living in this church era that is called the Church of Laodicea.
Yes.
Okay? And its thing is money, right? Because they say we're rich.
Money coming.
We got it.
Money.
We got all the money. Okay? Now, to those who have rebuked, I have discipline. Okay? It says, if anyone hears my voice. Okay, now listen to this. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. It says here, here I am. Okay? Jesus is talking. I stand at the door of what? He's writing to a church. He's not saying I stand inside. He's saying I stand at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Okay? So that is a understanding that Jesus is not inside of that church. He's standing outside of that church. And he's asking if anyone is in there who really wants truth. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Open the door and then me and you can have a meal and sit down and really talk. Right? And then he says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Yeah.
To the churches. There's seven of them. Wow. So now, that's the last church. Whole new story is about to begin now. Okay? This is a whole new story. Why? The seven churches, we just finished talking about them. I'm done with that,
mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is saying. Let's talk now. Then he says, after this, what do you think he means after this? After the churches, after the seven churches, after this, I looked and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. Who's the door? Hebrew students.
Jesus
is the door. Why is he the door? Because he's the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. He is the delete. Okay? How do I say door in Hebrew? Delete. Jesus is the delete. He is the door. What verse, what chapter is this in? Chapter 4. Why? Olive, Bet, Gamel, delete, 4. So remember, there's 22 books in the book of Hebrews. They are lettered for a reason. Because they're going to represent those letters inside of this, okay? So here is the delete chapter, and he says he sees him standing. He says, after this, I looked, and before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here. I will show you what must take place in the Greek metatauta after this, after what? The church. The church period is over. You understand?
Yes.
The church period is over. I'm going to see if that there's a numerical value of 117 there, because the church period is over. I will show you what must take place after this. John says, at once, boom, I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven. Wow, where's John now?
In heaven,
with someone sitting on the throne. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper, carnelian, and rainbow resembling an emerald, circled the throne. And it said, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders.
So man of God wants to know who's sitting. He says, who's sitting on the throne in chapter 20, verse 4? The church is who sits in the throne. I think they've been on the throne.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm going to show you who's sitting on the throne. Okay. I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Matthew 19, verse 28. I'm going to jump over there because that's good. That's a very good question, because I'd like to know who those guys are. They're all on the throne having a good time, and they're in heaven, and there's 24 of them. And guess what? If the church is there, that means that 12 of them are part of the church.
Right.
Okay. Now watch this. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And anyone who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So he's talking to the apostles, and he says, you 12 are going to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes. Now, if these 12 are sitting on the thrones, then who are the other 12? They are from the tribes of Israel. So also you have Reuben, Gad, Dan. Well, Dan's not mentioned, but Judah, all of these. So you have the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles are all sitting on thrones in front of the Messiah.
Jews and Gentiles.
Jews and Gentiles, because you have the song of the Lamb and you have the song of Moses being sang on this day. Okay? And so we have to understand that. Now understand, the 12 apostles are Jewish. The 12 patriarchs are Jewish. You understand? But the 12 apostles are representing a what? A predominantly Gentile church. Whereas the patriarchs are representing the 12 tribes that got rescued at the end of the tribulation. Now, we're going to see this again at the end in Revelation chapter 15, because now this is the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? Here we go. This is a good thing to turn back to go back to now. Okay, now watch this. Let's read here. It says, I'm back in Revelation, and I'm in I'm right in between. Let's just start here. I'm at the top, and it says they were dressed in white. Okay, the 24 elders, right, were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings of pearls of thunder, and before the throne were seven lamps were blazing. Who were these seven lamps?
Churches.
Who told us that the lampstands were the church?
John.
John in chapter 1. So God has already established, when you see the lamps, who the lamps are. Because he says the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Mm-hmm. Why now are they only lamps? Did you catch that message when I spoke on it? Because they no longer need the stand.
Right, right.
We have the Holy Spirit living in the body, but once we're translated, the body stays in. We don't need the stand. We're lamps unto ourselves, because we have become as lights.
Yes.
We are the children of light. You understand?
Yes.
So now these lamps are in heaven, okay? And we're blazing. He says, these are the seven spirits of God. Where does the Spirit of God live?
In us.
In us right now. So the lamps are in heaven. The seven spirits of God that orchestrated those seven churches are in heaven. Also before the throne was what looked like to be a sea of glass, clear as crystal.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm taking this from Hal Lindsey, I think, who studied Greek and had to write out the Greek to translate the book in Greek before he got his PhD or something. But he says this sea of glass represents peace.
Yes.
It is less looking at a river and there's no wind blowing. It just looks like ice or glass, right? Yeah. And he says, this represents, and he says it's clear as crystal, and it's a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And he says this represents that the seven churches are at peace, okay? And this is pretty awesome because the Shulamite, her name in Hebrew means perfect peace. So, and she's the one that gets raptured up in the Song of Songs. So here we go. Let's continue. And it says, in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. Okay? And it says, the first living creature was like a lion, and the second was like an ox, and the third was like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. These are the four definitions of the Messiah. Okay? These are the four definitions of the Messiah. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Aleph, the ox. The Aleph is also called the ox. He is God, the ox. He is also a man. Yeshua, and he is also the eagle that will rescue Israel on wings of eagle. Okay, so this is representing the Messiah. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and covered with eyes all around them, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Okay? What is the numerical value of Kadosh? 100. Three times, 300, right? Yeah. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Okay? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty who was, who is, and who is to come. Now, in Hebrew, you say Kadosh, 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 Yahweh, El Shaddai, Yahweh, okay? Ikhiyad Esher Ikhiyad, okay? Who was and is, who is to come. Now, so he's giving you the mighty names of God all in this here, okay? So, and it says in verse 9, it says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and whom lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worships him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. You created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Yeah. Okay, we have to stop there, but I want to explain this to you, okay? I have to explain this to you. Because what are we seeing here? When John gets to heaven, he sees someone sitting on the throne. Jesus is on the throne. And sitting before him is the court, is the royal priesthood court of 24 priests. The same as David.
Yes.
Remember, David separated the priesthood into 24. So he's sitting on his throne, and the courts of the 24 priesthood are sitting around him. What's happening here? There's a crowning ceremony.
Yes.
When do kings get crowned? Ah, Passover. Why do they get crowned on Passover? Because when Moses brought them out of Egypt, he was considered now the king or the ruler over the nations.
Yeah.
So after that, David got crowned on Passover. Samuel got crowned on Passover. I mean, Solomon got crowned on Passover. So then when Jesus came, they mocked him on Passover by putting thorns on his head and taking him into a royal priesthood, into a king's room, and mocking and beating him. So Jesus never received a proper coordination of his kingship.
Amen.
But the scripture says he will receive his coordination as a king, but who's going to announce him as king first? In the book of Samuel, what does it say? He will be in heaven for 7 years and 6 months, but he has to rule there over who? Hebron. And who is Hebron? In association, not Jewish, in association with the Jews. Who is that? The Gentile church, who have been engrafted into the Jewish nation through the blood of Jesus Christ. But now they are in heaven, and all the seats are filled. How can all the seats be filled until after the rapture? Because the other 12 don't get their resurrected bodies until when? Until the rapture, because those who have died in Christ will now receive their resurrected bodies. And now we're here, we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the air, receiving a resurrected body.
Yes.
Understand what's going on here, okay? They couldn't seat the 24 because the 12 of them were part of the church.
Yes.
But now it's time for the crowning ceremony. And he's sitting on the throne, and you got all 24 are seated there. And now you got all the nations and tribes of people, because they're sitting on a sea of glass, and they are waiting for and they're watching this crowning ceremony take place. They see the 24 elders take off their crowns, throw them at the feet of Jesus, and they announce Yeshua HaMashiach as the king over the church. But is he the king over Israel and Jerusalem now?
Mm.
Not yet, but he's coming back after 7 years and 6 months, after a war like David did, and then he's going to also be ruler over Hebron and over all of Israel.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So go back and take notes on this if you like, but this is good. I'm happy to go through this. Since all this stuff is about to happen, you won't have as many questions once you get there. Somebody else will be asking questions. You can fill them in. Oh, yeah, you know, they were just waiting for all of us to get here, and now they're taking their seats. So the next thing we're going to talk about is this scroll that it's in the right hand, and this scroll, because the Lamb who has redeemed the whole world, we have a scroll in heaven which has seven seals on it, and somebody has to open the seals of this scroll. And why does he have to open the seals? Because until he begins to open the seals, earth can't be redeemed. Because inside the seal is the person who redeemed. Inside the seal, inside the sealed envelope, is the name of the person who paid the price to redeem both man and the earth back from who? Satan, who we had been delivered from.
Yeah.
And so we all will have been redeemed. He paid the price for us, mm-hmm. and now he said, I'm going to show you the receipt. I paid for man, and I also paid for Israel, and I also paid for this earth.
Yep.
Okay? And I'm going to open the seals, and you're going to see when the seals are finished who the true owner of man and earth really is. Yeah. Praise God. And we'll look at that the next time we meet. Praise God.
Pastor, talk to him about the t-shirts and getting and keep sending in the video.
Who sent in the great t-shirt that me and Pastor Ben just love? Do you remember who was that?
I don't remember.
Was it Sandy Ford?
But the two of them, what, that's all folks? And then
and then the other one, well, the first one made me laugh.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that one right now, after we saw that, we were like, oh, game's over. This is the winner. So if you send in a better one than that, you win. As a matter of fact, I looked at that one and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't beat that. I decided not to make one. Still send them in. But I'm just letting you know it's a pretty good one. So the stakes are high. All right?
And if you have homework, continue to send in your exam.
If you have the homework, send in your exam. Go back over the thing. We're going to talk about people who would like to still go back and go over all of the classes and still take exam in the future if they would like to earn a associate degree in Hebrew theology.
And their videos. We need more videos.
And more videos. So finish your thing. Some people couldn't do video, so they sent me What was that thing that? Well, we know what you mean. Yeah. So if you have to send it in that way, I'll accept PowerPoint. Yeah, PowerPoints. I'll look at it and read it. But remember, the basis of this class is that you can take material and explain it and speak it to other people, and that's part of it. So, but we will accept a PowerPoint if that's all that you can do. But if you can speak, your PowerPoint is even better. Okay.
Amen.
All right. So we're about to close out, Pastor Ben.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's pray out. Thank you guys for coming. I hope these Bible studies help you, especially in understanding the book of Revelation. Now, from the book of Revelation, we also understand what? Because we're not in heaven and Jesus does not have the scroll in his hand, that means no seals have been opened, right?
Amen.
So that throws that lie out of the door. And that's what the great thing about going over Revelation is. Now, once you know the truth, people can't come to you and give you different lies about what the book of Revelation means. Okay? Praise the Lord. Here we are. Let's pray out. And Yahweh, or Yahweh, our Lord and Savior, said to Moses, "When you see my people, make sure you bless my people and say to them." It says, "Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Yivarekeka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'echunecha. Yasim Adonai panavilecha v'lasim l'kai shalom. So, oh, is that your phone, Pastor Ben? Okay. Leitriot b'shavu chaba hakol havarim. All right.
That's it?
Yep.
Oh, amen.